Talk Business with Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry, BCCI. Welcome as we hear the perspectives of various subject matter experts and stay up to date on the challenges and solutions around emerging and current trends in business, policies, trade, and more.
Good day and welcome to a very special edition of Let's Talk Business with the Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry. My name is Tahir Bulbuli and I'm your host for this program. The topic for today is digital transformation for traditional businesses, transitioning into the digital space. And joining me today is Senior Director with Cloud Karim, Iman Shihi, and Collector of People and Founder of DX Alliance, Mr. Dennis Augustine. And as we all know, digital transformation is the name of the game in the 2025 world. This landscape has evolved tremendously with the traditional way of doing business, changing every single minute, every single day. So this transition is absolutely critical, and we must look at the challenges, the outcomes, and possible opportunities that we can get from this transformation. But before I jump into this conversation on digital transformation, I'm going to ask Mr. Iman Shihi, just give an introduction into what is Cloud Karim and what service you provide.
Good morning, and thank you for having us on your show. Cloud Karim is a Caribbean company headquartered in Nassau, Bahamas. We provide managed cloud services throughout the region, including cybersecurity, platform as a service, infrastructure as a service, etc. For the uninitiated, let's say we're the Caribbean equivalent of a Google, AWS, or an Azure, but I would hasten to add, I think we give better service to this region. We have our infrastructure throughout the region, so we have infrastructure here in Barbados, also in Jamaica, and obviously in the Bahamas, and we're building out infrastructure in Trinidad and Guyana in the near future. So we really are here to offer sovereign cloud and sovereign data services to government and businesses throughout the region. Thank you.
Yeah, data is definitely a big part of the conversation in this digital landscape today. And we know the challenges associated and the possible investment and monopolization of the data industry as well. Correct. So we're going to have that conversation with you, Iman. But let's jump to Dennis. Dennis, you're the Collector of People and Founder of DX Alliance. What is DX Alliance? And also, what is Collector of People?
That was good. Both great questions. So the DX Alliance is the Alliance of Digital Professionals, and we are a member-owned, multi-stakeholder collective of digital professionals throughout the region who understand that the key for us to succeed here in the Caribbean is collaboration. Of course, when I came back to the region about 2.5 years ago, going on 3 in June, I listened and learned a lot, and I saw a repeated theme when we talked about what is inhibiting this region from making digital success. And over and over, I heard we don't collaborate enough. We don't trust each other enough. We certainly are capable. We have minds that are as good as anybody else's on earth, and the thing that you need to have a success in digital are willing minds and an internet connection. I think you see that we have both of those things here on this call today, but we've been missing the collaboration aspect of it. And when you ask yourself whose job that is, it was nobody's job per se to bring all of the various players together. And so we've taken that job, and we're making that, you know, digital professionals, we're taking ownership of that issue and trying to work together with the private sector, with the public sector, with the higher ed organizations to create that glue. And so we at the DX Alliance have an MOU with the University of the West Indies, for example, to create Codex, which is a center of digital excellence throughout the region. We're proud to have private sector partners like Cloud Karim, who are values aligned with us and believe this is a critical moment for the Caribbean and doing things to support that. And we're working with organizations like the CTU and in conversations with CARICOM to bring all of those elements together so that we can solve problems. That's what the Alliance is about. And we're really looking forward to servicing very much so the North American market and the over $300 billion worth of IT outsourcing that is available via North America, 1.5% of which is greater than the GDP of this country. So that's what we're about on the DX Alliances front. Collector of People, as I would have said at the Ideas Forum to hear, that is something that I've carried over from my past in ministry. I understand that once you put people together with purpose, that you have a powerful combination to affect change. And so even though I'm a career technologist as well, I've been doing tech for 27 years and software development, architecture, and so forth, I've also realized that the thing that digital solutions and organizations are made of is primarily the people. So you have to start with great natural resources. That's why I hang out with people like Iman over here so much, because, you know, it's exactly those sorts of people and partnerships that success is made of.
Yeah, really interesting perspective, and really love the point on the collaboration and forming those alliances between the sectors, between the agencies, between the partners. That piece to the puzzle, especially in the Caribbean, is absolutely pivotal for our development. Iman, I'm going to jump to you now. For the average person out there who may not understand what is digital transformation, from your perspective, from where you sit, how can you break down what is digital transformation?
Well, let me start off by saying one thing concerning Barbados. And I think if we start with the demographics in Barbados, we can see already where we need to go. So approximately 67, 68% of the population of Barbados is between the ages of around 14 and mid 50s. So these are people who have a lot of experience of using technology. They have a lot of experience of using mobile devices. And if we ignore that demographic, then we're missing a big opportunity. As a matter of fact, Cloud Carb, we wrote an article already 3 or 4 years ago about digital identity and mobile identity and how it could have an impact on business in the Caribbean and how it could unleash, let's say, technology and digital transformation by simply having that particular tool at one's disposal. But for me, then, I would say, and digital transformation, and we're talking about small and medium-sized enterprises, it's like how long is a piece of string? Because depending on the nature of your business, depending on the size of your business, either digital transformation will not be so relevant to you or it'll be critical to you. So I think, first of all, you got to decide what is your business? What is the nature of your business? Where are your clients focused? Is it in the digital space, or is it more person-to-person type of scenario? But certainly for all businesses, as we move towards, let's say, digital currencies, online payment systems would be a primary one for virtually all SMEs to have some kind of a payment platform that you can do digital payments. That would be a relatively straightforward one to do. And if we want to talk about, let's say, collaboration in the region, there are quite a number of companies in the region based here that offer online payment platforms. Of course, then there are other areas that are useful, which would be like websites, Instagram accounts, things like this, that you can promote your products and services to a wider audience. And I think one of the main things for SMEs here is to change the cultural mindset and to bring people into understanding that just their traditional face-to-face, you know, might be enough. But if they really want to grow their business, they have to do some small steps, online payments, a greater digital presence through a website, Instagram accounts, or these all kind of social media accounts. These are relatively straightforward things to set up. And I think for these kinds of companies, that would be the first step. For medium-sized companies, then, of course, digital transformation means other things like digital ERP systems, digital invoicing, these staff management systems, all of these kind of things that you build in to your ecosystem to improve your efficiency as an organization. So it really depends on the size and the type of business that you're going to do.
Thank you. And that point on cultural mindset, that is the key in breaking down this conversation and the barriers associated to any form of transformation, whether it be national transformation, digital transformation, social transformation. So Dennis, from your perspective, how can we begin to break down these mindsets associated with digital transformation?
Well, I think we want to, first of all, let people know that perhaps it's not as complicated as they think. So some of the things that we can do are fairly simple. There are platforms that are as easy to use today to do customer relationship management or CRM systems that are as easy to use as your email, that are as easy to use as your Instagram or Facebook. So you have a lot of the skills that are there, and there are tools that are fairly easy to support that. So I want people to kind of disabuse themselves of thinking, I'm not technical enough to have a digitally enabled business. I think that that's perhaps one of the first things we want to send out there. The tools and platforms are getting simpler and easier to use as we go along. And so ease of use is something that everybody's focused on in terms of user experience design. So they're getting easier to use. The things that you really want to focus on are some of the non-technical things in digital transformation, really having a good look at your at the what I call the five Ps, the your people, your the purpose that you're trying to achieve, the problem that you're trying to solve and that stands between you and achieving that purpose and the processes in your business. And then you start to think about what tools are out there can help to support me in those processes to make my life easier. And that's the message we want to send out. Digital transformation for your business is all about making the life of your life as a business owner and the life of your team easier, which means hopefully more efficient, which hopefully means more profitable. It means a better experience for your customers. So that's the message we want to really send. And I think shows like this and we at the Chamber, and I say we because I'm a member of the Chamber of Commerce, the DX Alliance is, and I serve on the Digital Societies Committee there. We really, really want to focus on sending that message out in 2025 because we think it's a pivotal year. So I invite people to keep on the lookout for our yearly digital summit, where we'll start to talk about this imperative moment in time. This crossroads that we are at here in Barbados. We also want to send out a message of urgency in that regard. So I think to answer your question to hear, we want people to kind of to change that mindset. We want to establish a sense of urgency. We want to let them know that it's not as hard to achieve as you might think. And certainly let them know as well that there is help. And the chamber itself will be offering help. People like Cloud Carib can offer help, especially on the enterprise level. And I know they're doing a lot of productivity tools as well at this time. There is help available. So just reach out for the help for the people who are standing here ready to help you. We all have a vested interest in having the people of Barbados, the businesses of Barbados and throughout this region do better.
Step in there on the cultural resistance part, just to give, if I may, an anecdotal example. I took my poor old dog to the vet recently. And this is a very good vet service, but their digital footprint is very small, using Microsoft Word for their records and stuff like this. And I asked the question, well, you know, have you guys thought about using some platforms or have you guys? And the response was, yeah, we'd love to, but we don't know where to look. We don't know where to start. The business, we don't have that much money. We need to focus on the business of delivering the vet service. So we don't have the people or the skills to do, you know, find a platform that's relevant, et cetera, and all the issues associated with that. So it wasn't a lack of willingness. It was just a lack of direction. Who do I go to? Who can solve this problem for me? And a lot of small and medium-sized businesses face this because they're not technology companies. They don't employ high-end specialists. That's what companies like Cloud Carib do. We have the high-end specialists. And what we have realized as a company, because traditionally our market, it was really large enterprises, governments, entities of this nature that wanted cloud services and cybersecurity services. But what we have realized is that there is also a market now for SMEs, but we have to supply a turnkey solution, a turnkey platform for them that they can just use, that there's no, as Dennis was saying, there's no learning curve to get it up and running. So I think there is probably an appetite for it, but people just don't know how to start, who to talk to, where to go. And we have to then look at how we can hold hands for these organizations and just deliver them a tool that they can use. The other point about some of the existing tools, and Dennis knows this is a pet project of mine, which is called sovereignty, data sovereignty.
Yes, sir.
A lot of the, let's say, platforms that are available at the moment are generally US-based platforms. So you have data privacy legislation in this region. And the issue then becomes, are you meeting your data privacy legislation requirements if you're collecting personal identifiable information. And that now starts to become a hot topic. And one of the, let's say, the mitigating factors that we as a company can help with that is by deploying these platforms or similar platforms inside the region to give the jurisdictional control over the personal identifiable information. So I just wanted to put that out there as part of this cultural resistance and the need for people to advance. There are these kind of issues that are coming up.
Yes. I want to add one more thing to the cultural resistance aspect. There is a problem that the prophet Bob Marley would have called mental slavery. And we're afflicted with that here in this region, and we come by it honestly. There's hundreds of years that say that we are the means of production rather than the owners of the means of production. And I value what Cloud Carib is doing here in this region because we're trying to create, they're trying to create infrastructures where we have things that are sovereign, that are owned by us. And we need to change that narrative. So the ones who are able to create digital solutions don't all look like Mark Zuckerberg or the tech bros that we saw, the broligarchy, like I like to call them, they don't all look like that. Some of them look like me. Some of them look like you. Some of them are allies like Iman who have come to this region to contribute. And so we also have to disabuse ourselves of the notion that we need to rely on other people outside of this region to create the solutions and capacity that we need to progress. We have everything that we need right here if we just realize the resources that we have at our disposal and what we are capable of.
I'm certainly enjoying this conversation, and the enthusiasm from you both is definitely nice to hear from persons so keen on and sharing on the importance of transformation digitally while still understanding the context in which we're operating. From a governmental level or from a national level, what can leaders do to effectively make this transition a tad bit more easier for business owners? I'll throw that one to Iman.
Okay. Fair enough. I mean, I think generally governments are trying. They're doing many programs. Even things like the Barbados Small Business Association, entities like that, BCCI, of course, itself, do a lot of things. I'll give you one kind of concrete example of what another country has done to, let's say, generate a push in digital transformation. And that is in Trinidad and Tobago. And Trinidad and Tobago, the government gave a tax break to all companies who improved their cybersecurity infrastructure. So they had certain criteria that had to be met. For example, if you engaged an entity to do it, they had to have certain qualifications like an ISO 27001 certification or some other ones that I could mention. So there's an example of where you can give a kind of a tax break to do something and you set the rules. That alone should spur many people on to do certain things, even if it's only focused on, for example, cybersecurity. And cybersecurity is not, this, big server farm somewhere in the ether. Cybersecurity is down to your desktop computer, your laptop computer. That's where a lot of the issues can start with. To give you a simple example for Cloud Carib, last month, as part of our infrastructure management service, our own infrastructure plus the infrastructure we manage on behalf of many clients, we had 120 million cyber events in 1 month. So, and that is at kind of enterprise level. But I'm pretty sure all of the phishing attacks and ransomware stuff that's happening for small businesses because they don't have their cybersecurity infrastructure beefed up. And that is one focus area for government. Offer a tax break, set the rules, and get small and medium-sized companies to implement basic cybersecurity. That would have a very significant impact. And I see Dennis got his hand up there.
Before Dennis jumps in, I hear you on the incentives, because incentives and specifically tax incentives often drives investment, innovation, and business in the country. So I hear you loud and clear there. And Dennis, in your answer, I want you to perhaps give some very practical incentives that can be given to businesses for implementing digitally more sustainable practices.
Sure, I will do that. But I, I'm I'm sure, well, I want to comment on the incentives aspect. It is great. And we have some great ideas in terms of incentives that the 2024 budget, the Prime Minister, for example, had announced a digital transformation tax credit, which was to offer a 100% tax credit to businesses that digitized during the 2024 tax year. That has been since extended to the end of this year. However, and I'll use this opportunity in this pulpit for this reason, we still do not have guidance with regards to what will qualify. Something as simple as that guidance. We're not talking about legislation, which does take time. But if we are to start projects for businesses, we need that guidance. So I want to send that message out to whomever is listening again in government at this stage, that we've asked repeatedly for just that guidance. And the chamber still stands ready to offer the assistance from qualified experts who have worked in other jurisdictions to support that program design. So we need to bridge the gap between idea, between the head and the feet. With regards to the public sector, we have great ideas, but the implementation tends to often be lacking. I will also say that it's important that we start to decouple the implementation of our roadmaps from the political cycle. Ministers, as we know, actually with the recent departure of Minister Cattle here in Barbados from MIST, what are we going to do? Are we going to restart this planning cycle that the minister started, that the previous minister had started, and we restarted again? I think what we need to do is to empower the bureaucracy. I know bureaucracy has tended to be a bad word, but it is bureaucracy, the bureaucrats who actually carry on beyond the political cycle, the career experts, those who are career experts in digital transformation, who are career experts in technology. We need to put those people in place and empower them to drive the roadmap rather than letting the political life cycle, which only lasts from one election or one cabinet shuffle to the next, drive that transformation. Otherwise, we will not have plans that span decades, as what we need in order to have true lasting success here in the region. So I will say that is a matter of comment. And if you would, Tahir, I know I didn't answer that part of the question, your second part of the question directly. If you would repeat that for me, I'll be happy to address that as well.
I think you touched on it ever so importantly and bringing in that context. And I think the word of the day is context. That is what I'm taking from you guys, operating in the context and breaking down those mindsets and systems and barriers that are often implemented and often becomes the culture thereafter. But Iman, you started on data, and you know cybersecurity is a big threat to data, to especially small island developing states and even bigger countries as well. How can businesses better protect themselves using the systems your company has in place?
Well, you know, one of the things that we are trying to do, which I mentioned before, is to build out ecosystems in various vertical markets. So yesterday I was talking to a company here that's a Barbadian company, MedRegis, who provide a medical platform for medical records. We're speaking with another Barbadian company that provide human resource platform to put these systems onto our platform, which means then companies can come access these local applications in a local setting, but have all of the cybersecurity expertise from our company. So one of the things I've often spoken about at the government level is the cost of having, for example, a single cybersecurity expert. Like I'm talking like a top expert. You could be talking salary scales of $250,000 a year. Now, most companies, and certainly small and medium-sized companies, can't afford this. So a company like ours, it's our business, so we have to afford it. But the cost for us is spread among all our clients. But you're all getting the same level of service. Every client gets the same level of service. To give you another example, we operate what is called a command and control center, a C3. So we have people in there 24/7, 365 days a week, monitoring all our infrastructure, looking at all of these cyber events, et cetera, et cetera. So I think the simplest solution for small and medium-sized companies hopefully will be something that we can deliver to them as a platform, as a service, that they don't have to worry so much about their data, how secure their data is, etc. One of the ways that if you're taking on a service provider, one of the ways you know or you can judge whether or not your data could be secured is what certifications these entities have. So I mentioned already ISO 27001. There's also another one called CSA Star 2, which is Cybersecurity Alliance. And it's a recognition, it's a independent certification of how you manage critical data in your environment. So an entity like CloudCarb, we have at least three international certifications. We are audited three times a year by different entities on the same aspects of how we manage data, how we secure data, etc. So if you're going to take on a service provider, then these are the simple things to look for. What are their certifications? Are the certifications current? That should give you peace of mind. Because if you don't have these independent certifications, we're only talking about best endeavors, and you simply don't know. And just to add to that, because, you know, in Barbados, although not really implemented yet, the Data Privacy Act, there is a Data Privacy Commissioner, but the implementation on the ground has not yet been rolled out, but I'm sure it will be. The onus is on anybody, and that means anybody, collecting personal identifiable information, which would be name, address, telephone number, email address, etc. The onus on those as data controllers is to ensure that the hosting service is securing that data. The onus is on them. They are responsible for ensuring that. And one of the only ways you can ensure that is that if the person managing your data or your environment has international certification standards to their name.
Yeah, really appreciate that advice on the international certifications. And guys, I really believe we're going to need a part two to this conversation, because we've just scratched the surface, as Dennis has mentioned. But Dennis, very quickly, give the public perhaps a case study or an example of a company that has implemented this system, and they have improved and they've gotten better.
Absolutely. I'd love to. So part of our DX Alliance community is an organization called Carib Guide. They run a platform called Barbados Guide. That's barbados-guide.com. And what the Barbados Guide Marketplace has done is to enable, and they're, by the way, one of the companies that it will be incubated within Codex at the UE. We're helping them to kind of make some more traction here. But what the Barbados Guide Marketplace does is it's enabled many Barbadian businesses, micro businesses, to easily get online. To get online, to have an e-commerce storefront, to be able to take digital payments, with making that very easy for them to do. The same Barbados Guide and Carib Guide team has been able to connect, for example, Charles Water Sports over at Dover Beach right now, so that 20% of their business is done digitally. Sandy Turf Stables, that equestrian thing, where they're doing about 40% of their revenue coming via digital channels right now. The Beyond Limits Fitness Center, which has been digitized such that their customer relationship and their onboarding is completely paperless. They don't print anything now. Everything is digital with regards to the Beyond Limits. And this is just one example of how organizations like Carib Guide, a member of the Alliance, has been enabling some small businesses to succeed. I'll invite everybody who's listening as I wrap up to stay in touch with both the DX Alliance and some of the member success things that we'll be doing and offering via some business support organizations like the Chamber of Commerce. So the BCCI will have programs upcoming. The incoming co-chairs are standing ready to create programs that will support small and medium business. So stay in touch with the BCCI, reach out to the DX Alliance, and we're here to help you.
Dennis, Iman, I really appreciate the insights and experience shared this morning. I'm certainly going to push for a part two to this conversation, because we've only touched the surface. There's so many layers to this transformation that is taking place in the digital landscape. So I'm going to invite Iman first and foremost. Just give your closing remarks. Thank you for coming on. Thank you for sharing your time. And perhaps we can have a more deeper conversation in part two.
Sure. Well, I would just simply add that there is, in this country, there are a lot of initiatives that are taking place, a lot of good ones. You know, you hear from my accent, I've originally come from Europe, but I'm glad to say I'm a proud Bajan. But things like, let's say, hopscotch. Hopscotch has transformed the food and beverage industry for restaurants in this country by providing effectively an Uber Eats service. Then you have another one called Pickup, which provides an Uber service, a taxi service. And the model is almost exactly the same functionality. I can see where the taxi is. I can see when my food's being delivered. So there are a lot of things happening in Barbados that are really, really good. The closing remark I would say is we have to then consider the de-risking from platforms that are outside the region and to start looking to have all of our platforms and services managed within the region as a part of a de-risking strategy. I think that's the one thing that perhaps we could look at in a part two in more detail, how we can do that, what the implications could be, both financial as well as on a cyber level.
Thank you, Eamon. Dennis, your closing remarks.
I just want to impress on people that we have to do this in 2025. I'll quote the Prime Minister with saying that this nation cannot afford to amble its way into the digital future. If you looked at the inauguration and you saw about $1 trillion worth of net worth in that oligarchy that stood there, it was digital, digital, digital. And one of them is coming right now for your business. Right now, Amazon is delivering here to Barbados for free. And that is just the beginning. We cannot wait till 2026. And if you think that your business is safe here, somebody can start to order things today from Amazon and get them delivered. So you need to get online. You need to digitize your business in 2025. I'll just want to impress the urgency of that and invite you again to connect with the Chamber in our Barbados at the Crossroads Convention that we will have here later on this year as well, because we are at a digital crossroads.
Dennis, Eamon, thank you so very much. So for the final time today, ladies and gentlemen, thank you. It's been a pleasure hosting this program. So until next time, God bless. Please be safe. My name is Tahir Bulbulia. Have a good day.
That's it for another edition of Let's Talk Business with Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry, BCCI. Join us again next time as we hear the perspectives of various subject matter experts and stay up to date on the challenges and solutions around emerging and current trends in business, policies, trade, and more.